Our next speaker is Matt Wyckoff, and the title of his presentation is Evaluation of Top Dressing Winter Wheat Within Hydrous Ammonia.
Thank you. As Jeff said, I'll be talking today about top dressing wheat with anhydrous ammonia. A little background on exactly what we mean by top dressing. As most of you probably know, top dressing winter wheat is a pretty common practice. This is typically done with applying a light rate, 20 to 30 pounds of nitrogen in the fall to get the crop up and through the winter, and then coming back in the late winter or early spring with the balance of the nitrogen application. The advantage of this is to basically eliminate the potential for nitrogen fertilizer loss over the winter months, as well as it gives the producer opportunity to evaluate the economic and agronomic capability of the crop after the winter months. So why do we want to use anhydrous to top dress with? It's more of an economic issue than it is an agronomic issue. As this graph shows, this bottom line here is anhydrous, and these are your urea and nitrogen solutions. And over the last 30 years, anhydrous is typically 20 to 30% cheaper. So why haven't we already been top dressing wheat with anhydrous? As you can see in this picture here, traditional knife style applicators create substantial amount of soil disturbance and therefore would basically destroy the standing crop if we went in there with this type of applicator. In this experiment, we're using the John Deere's new 2510 HSLD Coulter style applicator. It's ran at high speeds, between 8 and 12 mile an hour, where a traditional applicator is typically ran between 4 and 6 miles an hour. This also is a lot less horsepower requirements and fairly low soil disturbance. So really fits nicely into our no-till systems in the more arid conditions. We're looking at shallow application depths with this applicator, 10 to 12 centimeters, as opposed to 15 to 30 centimeters with the traditional knife-style applicator. So the objectives of this experiment were to compare top-dressing wheat with anhydrous to more traditional systems of top-dressing with urea, as well as evaluate the combinations of direction speed and application timing to minimize crop damage and maximize grain yield. These plots were laid out in a randomized block design. Individual plots were 3 by 15 meters. All the plots received 22.4 kilograms as urea broadcast at planting to get the crop through the winter. And this is all no-till work in the soybean stubble. Our 2510 applicator was set on 50 centimeter spacings, and we took grain samples and leaf data, but for today we're just going to talk mainly about grain yield. The first year, Manhattan 2010, was a kind of a preliminary year. We had three main components that I'd like to point out here. The first is we were comparing the top dressing, the traditional top dressing with urea to top dressing with anhydrous. Among the anhydrous treatments, we had two other factors. One is the speed. As you can see, we had a 4, 6, and 8 mile an hour speed, as well as, and then we also had the factor of applying with the rows as opposed to across the rows. And when we say across the rows, we were applying at about a 20 degree angle to the rows. The 2011 experiment was substantially bigger, and we also included two sites at this year. Once again, we have traditional top dressing as opposed to anhydrous, as well as the speed component, but we traded out the application direction for a timing component with the anhydrous. Also, I'd like to point out that these were all carried out at four different rates, the 67, 89, 112, and 134 kilogram per hectare rate, so that gives us 22 total treatments in that experiment. To give you a little bit better idea of what we're doing in the field, I have a short video here. We had alleyways between each plot. This is a 8-mile-an-hour treatment at the Fiki 7 timing. Fiki 7 is second jointing. So we're getting lined up here and go and do that 100 times or so, and we've got an experiment. So after we're done here, this is actually a Fiki's 4 treatment. As you can see, there's very little soil disturbance as well as little damage to the crop, so it works fairly well. Getting into the results here, the first year of the direction effects, as you can see, there's virtually no yield difference between the two different directions. We dropped this in the second year. We feel like there's a lot of potential here with different directions and spacings and whatnot, but we didn't have the resources to really carry it out the way that we felt like we should, so we dropped this for the timing component in the second year. Here's from Manhattan 2010, the top dressing with anhydrous compared to urea, and there's no statistical difference. There is a slight yield disadvantage to the anhydrous, but it wasn't statistically significant. Rossville 2011, once again, you'll notice that there's no statistical differences between top dressing urea as opposed to top dressing with anhydrous or among any of the treatments of anhydrous. I will point out there that there is a trend. Once again, we have a slight disadvantage to the anhydrous, and our Fiki's 4 treatments tended to do a little bit better than the Fiki's 7. In the Manhattan data from 2011, similar results, no statistical difference, but I'll point out here that we did have the Fiki's 7 tended to do a little bit better than the Fiki's 4, which is not exactly what we would have expected, as there is more damage to the crop in this Fiki 7 later in the growing season. We attribute this difference more to soil conditions at the time of application. The soil was a little bit wetter. We kind of pushed this treatment a little bit, and we feel like that's probably where our yield loss was at more than the timing. When we combine this data across all 3 years, once again, small yield disadvantage to the anhydrous, but not statistically significant. Average across all 3 years, when we look at the speed component, no statistical difference once again. One thing that we did notice a lot in the timing, these later timings, the Fiki 7 with the anhydrous. This picture doesn't show up very well, but you can see some green heads in here. At maturity, we had a lot of green heads from the late damage, and made harvestability somewhat of a bear, and most likely producers aren't going to like that too much. So in conclusions, anhydrous or top dressing with anhydrous is a viable option. It's most likely more of an economic advantage than an agronomic, but with that, we'd also like to say that there's definitely more downside risk with top dressing with anhydrous as opposed to urea. This, in the right conditions, this might not work so well. Waiting for proper soil conditions is probably one of the most important things. We'd rather wait for good soil conditions than trying to push getting it on early and things like that. We also, although we didn't, the results from the application were inconclusive, we feel like there's probably more potential here, and this might be revisited in future research. With that, I'd like to thank my major professor, committee members, and fellow grad students for all the help on this project, as well as funding and technical support from John Deere Cropping Systems Research, Brian Ginsky, and Nate Meyer. With that, do we have any questions?
Yeah. The damage you refer to is the wheat. wheel tracks? What's your damage from the application shanks or the mechanism itself?
Yeah, there definitely is damage from the coulter applicator running through. We also have gas damage from the ammonia. There's leaf burn, some of it's worse than others, especially if you get in a really wet or really dry soils. But and then there's wheel tracks, but we try to take that out by harvesting between the wheel tracks of the tractor. So.
Let me follow up. So you were able to avoid the wheel tracks in your harvest, or were not?
Yes, we were. The wheel tracks would have been on the outside of where we only took the center five feet of a plot to harvest, so we would have avoided that. Yes.
For your yield levels, what was the differences between anhydrous and urea in bushels per acre, and then have you penciled that out economically with slight yield losses versus the competitiveness of the price of anhydrous?
I've got a lot more going on that. That's all part of this research is the economic evaluation of it too. In bushels, we're talking 3 or 4 bushel yield disadvantage typically, and I know that's not always going to pencil out, but some years it might. And we also feel like if we could tweak this a little bit with more research on the direction thing, we might be able to take that, get it to yield just as well. So. Yes.
Timing of the crop rest is the later timing of the crop rest, which I'm not talking, what we call these settlers, prior to class 4, let's say less burn and higher burn in the modest doing
Well, yes, potentially we would expect for the Fiki 7 not to yield quite as well, but with that said, we also need to take into consideration the conditions. Maybe are you asking like later in the winter? Yeah. Well, the other thing that we run into is you get much earlier than like the Fiki's 4 treatments, and the ground can be frozen and things in Kansas. So it's.
That's what I was suggesting. Is that coming out of the process?
Yeah. Yeah, there's potential, but I wouldn't expect it to be that much different than the Fiki's 4, just because the timing is there's not that much in our climate. There's not that much difference in timing. And you wouldn't consistently be able to do it every year, so. No, we didn't specifically look at that. No. Yeah, that was all that all plays into it. Yeah, both years we did see fairly good conditions for the crop to come back. And on a year that it might be dry or we didn't get a rain for a few weeks, I would expect, yeah, there's a potential for a disaster here, really. Yes, yeah, we did, and there was no statistical difference between any of the protein levels.
Okay, thanks, Matt.